Our next speaker is Mei Bai, who will be speaking to us about a comparison of flux gradient and chamber techniques to measure soil nitrous oxide.
Good morning. Welcome to my talk. My name is Mei Bai. I'm postdoc research fellow from the University of Melbourne, Australia. I represent today's talk for my colleague from the vegetable study, but today I'm focused on the comparison of flux gradient and chamber techniques to measure the soil N2O emissions. Vegetable farm apply large amounts of nitrogen content fertilizer, which is the major source of anthropogenic N2O emissions. Accurate measurement of N2O emission can provide important information for national greenhouse gas inventory and also the mitigation strategies. However, N2O emission are very spatially and temporally in particular large scale. It is challenging for us how the measurement can represent the real emissions. Current soil emission measurement technique include chamber techniques. It's a commonly used practice and low cost and easy to apply in the field. However, it covers small footprint and disturb the soil and atmosphere interface. This is the chamber. Micrometeorologic techniques measure the airflow above the surface. It has large footprint and there's no disturbance of the soil environment. For example, flux gradient technique is well used micromat technique. It traditionally measured based on the concentrations measured at the vertically separated 2 points. Recently, flux gradient technique has been developed using the slant path configurations. Instead of the point concentration measurement, the modified flux gradient actually used the vertically separated line average concentrations using the one single concentration sensor, open path FTIR. Previously, we have a study at Veget Farm. We used the technique which the previous talk the speaker talked about, the Winchex model combined with the open path FTIR. But we have the issues with the background concentration into the model. So in this modified flux gradient technique, the aiming system can drive the open path, allow the open path FTIR spectrometer to be able to aim at different reflectors at different heights. And this is the open path FTIR we're going to use in this study. Open path FTIR can measure 6 gases at the same time, simultaneously, including CO2, methane, ammonia, nitrous oxide, water vapor, and CO. And the path length can be up to 400 meters in one way between the FTIR spectrometer and the retro reflector. Our study was conducted at a commercial vegetable farm. The experiment site was about 3 hectares, and we transplanted celery crops at 4-5 leaf stage, applied chicken manure to the crop bed, as well as some synthetic fertilizer at 38 kilogram nitrogen per hectare. And the picture shows the early age of the celery before we start our measurement. Our objectives in the study, we used slant path flux gradient combined with open path FTIR technique, and we measured N2O emissions, followed them. Chicken manure was applied to the crops bed, and we also measured N2O emission with the static chambers. We then compared concurrent emissions measured with both techniques. This picture shows what we set up in the field. On the right side, there's open path FTIR spectrometer set up at 1.4 meter above the ground and located in the shed. At 80 meters away on another end, we set up the retro reflectors at two heights. The lower ones 0.8 meter above the crop bed, and the higher ones 1.8 meters. The left corner also shows the static chambers we used in the same during the same measurement time. We collected 2.5 minutes average per each path, the concentrations, so 5 minutes for each cycle, including the low path. So 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes average concentration was collected for each path, so 5 minutes, including the cycles, including the two paths. And then we also measured the wind variables using the sonic at a 15 minutes average. Then we processed the concentration data together with the wind variables and to calculate the flux within this open area. We also excluded the data when the poor spectra were collected, and also when the wind condition was calm. For example, if the wind less than 0.05 meters per second, then we will throw out the data, because the low wind can introduce large uncertainty into the flux. Due to the time limit, so I won't go through all the calculation. For the chamber calculation, we use a linear regression relationship to calculate the flux. And for the flux gradient methodology, we applied, we based on the FLASH 2016, the paper. So if you're interested, I would like to. Here is the results. The top panel, the green one is temperature, air temperature during the measurement period time, and the precipitation, including the rainfall and the irrigation. The measurement time starts from late March until early May. We have a continued measurement for the first 3 weeks, and then after that, we measure 3 days per week for 3 weeks. So we can see in red, that's a chamber, red dot is a chamber measurement in our hourly measurement average, and the flux gradient measurement in blue. We can see the both measurement within the same range. But if we want to look more closer at how they respond to the chicken manure application, we look at the first week after the manure was applied. The lower panel shows more detail about how they respond to the application. So the lower panel, we can see the red, the flux gradient shows more dynamic emissions compared to the chamber measurement. Although they follow the same pattern, but we can see the chamber measurement much lower than the flux gradient measurement. Then we compare these two methodologies. We take the geometric mean of the ratio between flux gradient and the chamber measurement. The geometric mean 1.40 shows the flux gradient flux on average were 40% higher than those from the chambers, and the difference was statistically significant. The difference could be due to the different footprint of measurement, or due to the nature of N2O emissions, spatial and temporal variabilities. However, our relationship, we observed together with the previous other studies, report on the biases created by the chamber calculation procedures, and support our interpretation that the flux gradient calculation were accurate and the chamber measurement were biased too low. The flux gradient technique combined with open path FTR technique shows the advantages. For example, it can give the continued measurement and cover the large footprint. and less surface interference. And you don't worry about the tubes or pipes. Also, especially people interested in some other sticky gas, for example, ammonia, they will be very advantage for using this technique. So from our study, we recommend for the choice of future, the measurement technique, it really depends on the technique, the strength and the weakness, and also as well as the practical conditions. Okay, I would like to thank Australia Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and the Forest for funding, and also the support from the vegetable farm, and also our soil research group. And special thanks to our co-authors, Helen Suter, Shuki Lam, Tom Flesh, and Dali Chen. Thank you very much.
Time for two or three questions?
Yep. I think the last, the back. Okay.
Thanks for a nice presentation.
Thank you. Can I repeat your question? How I process the data when the wind condition was low? Is that your question?
Yes, and what portion of data did you find accurate?
Well, from the... we're quite lucky. We actually, I have the exact number, but I'm not here, but we're quite lucky. The wind is pretty good. So yeah, we really depend on the wind, but because there's another paper to talk about the wind, how we flux related to the wind conditions. So we actually drop the threshold, the criteria. So the wind is only dropped then comma 0.05 meter per second. Then we will not use that. But most of the time it's greater, but the flux gradient combined the FTR, it does affected by the wind speed. If too low wind, it does give you some noise. We planted the cell. Yes, we actually conduct at a commercial farm, whatever they plant, we just use my colleague Helen, yes. I'm not a soil scientist. Helen, his question is whether we ask them to plant the crops or the so they were going to plant the celery, so we just applied our technique to tell them how the emission come out from the chicken manure application. Actually, our chamber has the fan. We have a ventilation, but still, that's the result we find. The upper chamber, is we have a ventilation system built inside, and then we also try to control the temperature, not to increase. So we put a reflection material on the top and then ventilation, a fan inside. Yes, so that's the... our result.
How do you account for the bias?
Well, depends on, because this, for me, the calculation, the linear regression calculation, and your concentration still build up, even though you assume they might have be the temperature build up. As well as there's no real environment the same as the micromat. There's not the same conditions.